I do. I'd like to make some comments. I've been a beneficiary of the CWMU. I've received PEG, and I've been able to hunt one. I think they're great programs. It's awesome for the landowners to come forth and do that. Also been on the other side of that, where we were hunting a unit with many years vested into receiving that permit, be it a lot of our private or our public lands were inaccessible because of the boundaries of that CWMU. It's a little contradicting. I think they have enough land to maintain a CWMU as it is with as many acres as they've got. But I hate to see more of our public land be taken away for three tags. I think there's a lot more than three people that hunt that area. And I think it is not that much of a benefit to encompass those public lands.
You're talking about the
West Willow.
The West Willow. But I see the issue here too, because if they went in and started getting land in there, if there's any BLM or state that they got to encompass to get a clear boundary, I see that as problems, personally, and as a sportsman.
Part of it is public grounds landlocked.
In this one, there's no public ground.
And you guys,
you got a map on that one?
Do you have the map there?
Did you see the map?
It's hard to see.
It is hard to see.
There's five sections here that talk about BLM.
If they're landlocked by private ground, then the CWMU is access for the public hunters.
It's a benefit. I agree, and that's where the clarification on the map, I mean, if there's public access to that property, I don't feel it's right. So that's all I'm asking for is clarity, if there's public access to that.
I think Clint went to go get a bigger map. They do have a big blow-up map.
While he's getting the map, maybe I'll make a clarification on it. There are certain requirements that have to be met to include public lands in a CWMU. The first one would be that it has to be completely surrounded by private land. The public land has to be completely surrounded by private land or otherwise inaccessible by the general public. Okay, and that's the first requirement. The next one is it's necessary to make a definable boundary for both the public and the private. And the third one is it's needed to meet management objectives for the unit. So that's basically the three criteria we use by rule to include public lands into a CWMU.
This is a map of the red line. This is the current proposed boundary. The marked pieces that say state or BLM are the public lands they are choosing to include. And so you can see how it makes a continuous block by allowing that state land and BLM to be a part of the unit. And it makes a very clear and decisive boundary for the public access that is on the unit due to the county roads. It allows, like I say, a very clear boundary. You're not jumping back and forth. I mean, I talk to people that hunt Willow Creek all the time, and you're jumping from tribal land to state land to private land to state, and they get so confused, and they end up not even hunting it. And that's what I fear would happen out there. And I understand your concerns, and I've thought about it and thought about it, and, you know, you say only three tags, and there probably are some people. We have done some research. Dax looked up the hunter information.
I went through the hunter comments for all 380 people that have book cliff stacks, and they put on there the drainage where they, you know, killed their buck. And there's less than 10 a year that hunt this area that put that in their comments. you know, unless people, and I included anything like Flat Rock, Chimney Rock Agency, and some of that, they might have been on BLM land, but I included all of those when I looked at it. It was less than 10 years. Deer hunter standing under there. Well, it's the private lands that are just a little north of where you're on.
This is not going to make any sense to me in the morning.
Folks, we're talking over each other again.
And it's being recorded.
One at a time, please.
I'm sure that needs
I want some more of that chocolate. Did you pick up this with a little
bit?
Yeah.
I've only got two more.
I don't dare.
First one.
This is my last round.
This is your last one? What's the latest the others was?
20 to 11.
Oh.
All right, let's go ahead and gather ourselves back together here. Appreciate that, Clint, for bringing that larger map out, kind of let us know and better see where this was in the world anyway. All right, any other comments by the rack?
I guess I have a question. What is the typical, so the East Willow, West Willow, CWMU, my concern is not necessarily elk and pronghorn, it's more about deer, it's more about the elk herd. So what happens, like, if this becomes a CWMU for deer and pronghorn, how easy is it then to just establish elk in there? Because this is a really good elk unit, really good elk. It's pretty good. Yeah, there were some really nice bulls there this year. I witnessed them. So,
I'd have to defer that to the region.
It's not. I mean, we consider it deer winter, elk winter range, and you know, the more we find out about elk and the more habitat improvements we do, the more elk start living in places that we don't expect them to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't doubt that elk wander on and off this piece. But as far as consistently, it's not.
Right during
when I patrolled out there in law enforcement, I never checked anybody out there elk.
My buddy had an elk permit this year. I was there 2 days before the hunt started. Sure. We saw really nice bulls there. So I guess my concern
in agency draw starts, or
right by the pipeline on your way to Flat Rock and on the way to Chimney Rock.
Okay.
I guess my concern is, if it becomes a CWMU, is it easy then to just add the elk to it in the future?
Like you say, Clay, probably that's a better.
Down the road, it's not enough. It's based on the amount of acreage.
Yeah.
It allows them to have whatever.
Yeah. Species. We just chose to take it slow. That's all we did.
Right.
Yeah, and that would go through the same process. I mean, it'd have to go through the rack and the board if they were to add elk onto this.
Well, yeah, step over the mic there, Clay, and answer that if you would please.
The reason we haven't included any elk is because of the consistency. We didn't feel at this time that it could handle very much elk hunting. I've been out there now for 9 years. I have a pretty good handle on what's going on. However, Mustang Fuel is, they have a desire to increase that population. They've done projects in the past with the state or somebody with chained acres. We're doing what we can to try to increase it. We hope that in coming years we can add elk to the CWMU, but at this time we're choosing purposefully not to have them because we don't think we can offer a quality hunt. So.
Where's Clay?
Jim, how long do these permits last? What's the dates on them?
The dates of the hunts would be for deer September 11th through November 10th.
Yeah, I kind of got problems with that because that's when the deer are migrating through there. And there's a lot of big bucks that come through there. And I'd sure hate to see the gene pool get killed.
I think now they're going to, the Senate meeting looks like they're going to limit it to 10 deer tags in that whole area. Which could, you know, there might be more hunters in there, less hunters, depending on the normal year. Right now there's deer hunters in there.
Yeah.
Not right now, but this year.
Yeah, because I know a lot of the tribal members have to go before the books on both sides, because we do have tribal land on both sides of the mountain.
Other comments? I think on this one I'm going to entertain three different motions. One of them for the West Willow Creek Ranch, one of them for the Blue Mountain Muleys, CWMU, and then one for the rest. Does that sound like a plan? All right, so right now let's talk about the West Willow Creek Ranch CWMU. Any additional comments on that one before we call for a vote? We'll call for a motion. Let's call for a motion then on the West Willow Creek Ranch CWMU request.
I motion that we accept it as presented.
Okay, David made that motion. I need a second.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Dan made the second. Any substitute motions? Probably not on this one, huh? All right, all in favor? It's, we've got 4, 5, 6, 7. 7. Those opposed?
I abstain.
1 abstain?
I abstain.
2 abstain.
Why? What's the reason?
I abstain because I don't agree with the dates.
Oh, okay.
On the length of the tags. If it went with the general tag, general season, I'd probably have no complaints with it.
Okay. And Daniel, yours?
I abstain because of the public, at public property.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that was the How about the any discussion, more discussion on the Blue Mountain Muleys? Okay, I'll call for a motion on that. Any motion for Blue Mountain Muleys?
I will make a motion. I'd make a motion that we go along with the Wildlife Board's denial of that for this year, but that we allow Jeff to clean up some of the issues with the maps of the property and allow him to reapply next year in a different format without, you know, some of this stuff that he's been denied now and that he can go away and figure out a way to improve his plot. That would be the motion that I'd make.
What about community service and jail time?
You
mentioned it.
He's right there going to jail every day.
Change the motion.
I gotta switch the motion for community service.
ankle bracelets.
Yeah. All right, we've got a motion on the table. I'm not going to repeat that with Gail.
I can if you want, but I don't think, I think we got the okay, message.
I think we ought to know what this to approve it with the option to agree with the division about denying it with the option to let me come back and reply. Need a second on that motion?
I'll second.
All right. Need seconds. Is all in favor? That's unanimous. All right. Thank you. All right, we've got one more motion to make just on the rest of the CWMU management plans. I'll entertain a motion for that one.
I motion we accept it as presented.
Any second? Tim seconds it. All in favor? That is unanimous. All right, thank you. All right, hope that's a tough one, Scott.
Moving right along here. My next presentation will be on the 2016 Landowner Association permit recommendations. For 2016, we have, remember last year we changed it so similar to CWMUs or just like CWMUs, Landowner Associations are approved for 3 years. And this was the first year of their under that program. So we had 12 landowner associations that were approved in 2015 for 3 years, and they had no requested changes, so they're good for another 2 years. We had one split recommendation on here. We have a request for one new landowner association in the southern region and one landowner association change request to their current numbers. We had two landowner associations that are still in the program, but they only receive one permit every 3 years. And in 2016, neither of those do receive permits. So total numbers for 2016. Landowner Association Buck and Bull voucher totals would be, there's a total of 17 landowner associations, which would account for 113 deer permits, one management buck permit, 73 elk permits, and 9 pronghorn permits. And this is based on the division recommendations. So we have one split recommendation, singular, not plural there. And that's with the Buck Cliffs. Let me go over the recommendations first. What they've requested, and as of last night, this is changes. They requested what they had been receiving, which in the past had been 15, or had been 21 deer permits and 9 elk permits. And so the 15 would be a change in numbers, and that's also different on the sheet because of the way the timing when all the recommendations came in. But this is what the recommendation is. What they qualify for, and I'll explain how we qualify these landowner associations for their permits, is 13 deer, and the division's recommendation for that would be 13. So they're basically requesting 21 permits. What they qualify for is 13, and we're recommending 13 on that. On the elk, they have been receiving 9 in the past, and this is because of a reduction of acreage and recalculations that caused with the landowner association on habitat. So, and what they're on the elk, they've been receiving 9 in the past, as many as 10, but for the last quite a few years, they've been receiving 9 permits. They qualify for 3, and the division is recommending 6. The way that we calculate the qualification for these permits is on any limited entry unit like this, there's a pool of permits. So we look at the total habitat within the limited entry unit and the total habitat that is enrolled in the landowner association, and that's calculated on a percentage. For example, if there were 1,000 acres in the limited entry unit, and 100 acres of that, for simplicity's sake, was in the landowner association, they would qualify for 10% of the permits, the total permits in the unit. And that's the basic calculation. The reason that we are recommending an additional 3 permits on the elk is because there's substantial crop damage by elk on landowner association properties in the unit. So we felt that we could, and because there's a higher use because of the land, the water that's provided for them on these private lands, there's a higher use of elk for critical times of the year that qualifies them for more permits. So this is the recommendation on that. We had one new landowner association application. It's the Oak Creek. It's in the southern region. They enrolled 31,429 acres, which was 96% of all the private lands within that unit. They qualify for 6 deer permits, and we're recommending 6 deer permits for that unit. We had one landowner association change request. This is the Ponsignan Elk Landowner Association. They wanted to increase their bull elk permits from 2 to 5. They qualify for 5 permits, and we recommend 5 permits, and this is because of an increased acreage in the landowner association. Prior to this, they also had qualified for additional permits. They just chose not to take them until this time. So. And that's all the landowner permit recommendations.
Okay, thank you. I got one question. We were talking there about permits for landowners. And if a public guy draws a permit of that limit of entry, is it a possibility that he can go hunt on the landowner association's property? Is that?
Yes. The way the rule reads, and we just had a revision and a clarification on the rule, is that, for example, if a landowner association divides out the permits within the landowner association members, and say that the piece of property that the public hunter would like to hunt on, that guy he qualifies through the association for 2 deer permits. And this is just an example. He would be required to let 2 public hunters on him. Not all the hunters within the unit, but he would be required to let, on a first-come, first-served basis, 2 public hunters on that private property. And the way that's done is we publish the name of the landowners association presidents. They would contact them, and they are supposed to keep records of that. But yes, there is a public opportunity. It's not all of them that would have that. It's on a first-come, first-served basis. But basically, it's the number of permits that they qualify for, they would have to let an equal number of general public hunters onto their property.
But did I hear you right? The president of the Landowner Association is supposed to keep records of who they've allowed on?
Of who requests it and who they let on. That's correct. Okay.
I'm like them 6 elk tags on the book list. They come out of the total floor for the big unit, for the little creek unit, or whatever unit.
Yeah, they come out of the limited entry total quota.
Or questions by the rack?
I had a question on the youth change on the youth deer hunt on the CWM news, and I'm happy.
That's the
back off, and he's going to go.
That's the next one.
Is that the next one?
Sorry. Hang on to that one.
That's still another one.
I'm going to get that, but it's the last item of the next one. Okay, so sorry.
But it's been in the wrong section.
That's with rule changes under that section. So.
Other questions by the rep? Question by the public?
When are we going on?
I'm hurrying.
About 2 days. All right, don't say questions. All right, comments. I didn't get any comments from this.
I got one.
You got one?
It's on the book list unit.
All right, if you wouldn't mind, step up there. And it's Gordon, and state your name.
Gordon Van Dyke, and I'm representing the landowner association. So on the elk tags, what we would like is we would like to maintain our 9 tags we've been getting in the last couple of years. 20?
At least 4.
4?
Well,
I've been there 10.
Because so before that was, there. Before it was 10.
So what we're
at least 4 years it was 9, before that it was 10.
Yeah. What we're losing is we're losing Mustang Fuels. So we're losing about 19,000 acres out of that, right? But what we're not losing is we're not losing the damages that we're receiving now. You see what I'm saying? Like, we still feed the same number of acres. So, and we want to make that, and that we get that help. Like, we have one down there that's an oasis in the desert. You know what I mean? I mean, we feed 300 head for 6 months that they don't ever feed. Anywhere from 100 to 300 head, they're in all 7 months. You know what I mean? And then the water, probably 60, 70% of the water is on the private ground. So all the deer and elk, they just pound us year round. So we're still maintaining all of the damages, even though we're losing some of the acreage.
So you're actually asking for 9 tags instead of the 6?
Yeah, we're asking, we're asking for just what we've been receiving, you know, to offset the damages that we receive now, you know. And for all the, you know, I mean, we do a lot for the elk and the deer, you know what I mean? So on all our private and public land, see, the expense is enormous. So, and that's kind of how we try to offset the cost. So.
Justin and Keith, we have our neighbor down there, basically exactly what he said. Some of the ground got pulled out, but the cost and everything that's always been there is still there. So pretty much just exactly what he said. It's nothing changes from what the past has been. You know, the future, the elk number are still there. And that's, you know, that acreage over there, left, there wasn't that much elk at the beginning, but they're where they are, and they're going to continue to be there. So same thoughts he had there. Just wanted to know.
Thank you. Yep. Josh,
you have a comment?
Please do.
My name is Josh Horix, and I just want to talk on behalf of the sports team. I'd like to echo what these two landowners have talked about. I mean, it's been proven worldwide. If you give value to the wildlife, to the landowner, then they take care of it, and it benefits everybody, the sportsman and everybody. And it's true, the water and what have you in the cliffs that these landowners help raise the wildlife and what have you. I'd just like to make this recommendation. Ask you guys to make the recommendation to go with what they want, and let's make it better for everybody. Take care of them.
Thanks, Josh. Any other comments? Well, discretion by the rack. Moments by the rack.
How many tags are in that unit?
For elk tags, we give a total of 139 public drop permits. That was for this last year.
So, Clint, if we was to do kind of what we're talking about, what's being suggested here by these three fellows? Go back to 9 tags from what the division's recommending, 6. And then in 2 years down the road, we got Willow Creek asking for tags, and they say they're willing, or they've got other 3 that they lost, they're eligible for. They get those other 3 tags. That 3 tags have probably come out of the pool that is right now being allocated to the rest of sportsmen. Is that correct?
Yeah, it all comes out of the same lot.
What's the recommendation of DWR that we would be increasing the public by 3 tags, correct? Because currently 9 is continuing out.
Yes.
That's how that
is. Yep. Yeah, currently we've been pulling 9 out the last few years. The overall elk permit numbers have stayed pretty similar, pretty consistent at 140. I think we might have been up about 150 maybe 3 years ago. So we're hovering right around there. So we haven't had many drastic changes. A few years ago, I think about 5 years ago, there was some more drastic cuts in tags, and that's what led from 10 to 9 overall permits.
I have a question for you. you heard what these guys said, and is that true?
Absolutely.
And they're still dealing with the same number of elk on their property, but they pulled some land out that the elk didn't go on?
You know, like I said, the majority of that land, and Joe, you know, obviously saw elk out there, some good bulls, and but in my mind, the majority of the land that left the association, the new Willow Creek CWMU, did not sustain a significant amount of elk damage. As far as there's no crop land, there's no irrigated land, nothing like that got taken out of the association. So, like they said, they're still dealing with the same amount of damage, even though they lost 19,200 acres.
If that's true, and you guys know that's the way it is, then why would we want to punish them by taking away their permits?
Sometimes the numbers just don't add up, Jerry. And so you can see here, when Mustang Fuels pulled out the total overall elk acreage. And so what we do is, to calculate this, is we take the total amount of private land that falls within the elk habitat layer. So we take that number, and then we take the whole Book Cliffs unit, excluding tribal land, and we calculate the total amount of elk habitat that falls into there, and then we create a percentage from there. And so the numbers, like I say, they just don't lie. So there's 24,000, almost 25,000 private land acreage.
It's based on your formula. Sort of,
yes.
That you have, yeah. You have to go by.
We all have bosses.
But can you make it? Can you make exceptions? Do you have the ability to make exceptions?
You know, I like the numbers, because the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
But you just said the 19,000 acres that were pulled out are not impacted.
They're so not significantly, they were not causing any damage. But when you add it up, as far as what we can calculate and what we can see with the numbers and the formulas, the rule, the laws, the sideboards that we have to govern our lives by, that's where the impact comes. And that about,
I think we would have an option of where we're reducing their tags. And they're not asking for any on the other portion. We wouldn't be losing anything to continue with the mine, but when Mustang Fuels comes and asks for 3 elk tags in 2 years or whatever, then the issue would then impact the public. So that's how I see it.
Other discussion. I think the only thing I see here is these guys are asking for some additional tags other than what the division recommends. So I guess I'd recommend we make one motion to decide on that particular thing, and a second one for the rest of the proposal. That sound like an option? Okay. So right now, I guess is there a motion to increase or stay the same with what's presently out there for the Bookless Landowner Association?
I make a motion that we allow 9 tags. I guess I can only make it for this year. That's all we're getting.
It'll be 3 years.
It'll be 3 years?
3 years.
Yes. Okay. And I guess, we'll just deal with the other one. We'll just deal with the other one when it comes in for elk. So I would make a recommendation we allow 9 permits.
Anybody have a second?
I got a question before we do a second. Okay, now if he comes in within the 3 years and says, hey, I'll an additional DL, whose part is that coming out of? Is that coming out of the public or is it coming out of the...
Coming out of the public. If it's approved, it comes out of the public because these guys would have it for 3 years. They'd have those 9 tags for 3 years. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, like you say, you can compartmentalize it like you're thinking, or you can just think, you know, it's all coming out of the same pool. It's not that, you know, it's not the Landowner Association's taking away from Mustang Fuel's opportunity to have elk tags or vice versa. It's all the same tags.
Well, see, the way I'm looking at it is you guys have given the 9 with the addition of their part of their land. So he can come back and say, well, next year he can come back and say, well, I want my 3 elk tags. And that's taken from the public.
Can I say something?
But go ahead. We broke every other rule there was.
In the 3 years, if we got the 9, in 3 years, what would happen if the elk numbers have gone up and the tags go up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, everything the elk are doing great out there, are. You know. I mean, yep. So that chance is there for sure. I mean, we're not getting less elk every year. We're getting a lot more elk every year. You know, the elk herd in the booklets are doing really well. Our deer herd, well,
easy. That's a different thing.
All right, so we've got a motion out there. We need a second.
I'll second.
All right, Jerry second that motion. All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's unanimous.
Oh, you said yes?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so now I'll entertain another motion for the rest of the Landowner Association permit presentation.
I have a quick question, quick clarification. On that last one, it was just for the elk. Correct?
That's right.
All right. I motion we go ahead and accept the recommendations presented by the division for the Landowners Association.
We have a second?
I'll second.
All right, so Daniel second that one. All in favor? And it is unanimous. All right, thank you.
Get ready, Mitch.
you got one more.
I will try and get through this as quick as I can. I know it's late.
Scott tells him, Phil, that's the next one on this one.
I'm going to appeal my case to the Supreme Court. This is back in the CWN section.
Okay. My last item I'll be presenting tonight is proposed changes to the Cooperative Wildlife Management Units for Big Game and Turkey rule. I'll try and go through this as quickly as I can, but I just wanted to go through a little bit of background with CWMUs and some of the reasons why we do have them. Less than half of Utah's 54.3 million acres is in private ownership. Yet greater than 60% of Utah's big game winter range exists on private land. You know, and we never want to downplay the importance that private lands play to our big game populations. So we began in 1990 as an experimental posted hunting unit, or a PHU program. In 1993, it was made a permanent part of Utah Lake. And in 1997, it was changed to a little bit more friendly name of Cooperative Wildlife Management Unit. So, and I said before, you know, 2.26 million acres enrolled in the program, and they have 605 landowners currently participating in that. These recommendations are a result of several meetings, numerous meetings throughout 2015 on rule changes and. What did they do? I'm not doing GoPro. Anyways, the majority of these recommendations came as a result of several meetings with the division, landowners, operators, public, and mainly with the CWMU Advisory Committee. And our CWMU Advisory Committee is made up of quite an array of representatives on there. We have two sportsman representatives.
I know how to get rid of that if you want.
Please. We have two sportsman representatives, two CWMU representatives, one agricultural representative, and a large at-large public representative, an elected official, and a RAC chairperson or a RAC member, and our wildlife section chief is the chair of that committee. And just, there was a lot of work that went into this, and a lot of meetings, a lot of time, and a lot of effort and thought was put into these. So I'd like to thank those that participated in that. I tried to categorize the proposed changes. They're just kind of all over the place. So I tried to put them into actual changes, additions, and clarifications. But everything on here basically is a change to the rule. And the first change that is proposed is the change of the hunt dates for buck, pronghorn, and antlerless hunts, and antlerless hunts dates for deer, elk, and doe pronghorn. Currently, it's allowed for the CWMU to hunt archery beginning the first day of the general archery hunt until September 1st, until they kick into their any weapon hunt. We wanted to make that consistent with what was already done. We wanted to make that consistent with pronghorn, with what was already being done with the buck deer. So what we're proposing is that we begin it for archery equipment only, beginning with the statewide archery pronghorn hunt, which usually is the Saturday nearest the August 15th. This year, or in 2016, we begin on August 20th. The next change would be to change the antlerless deer, elk, and doe pronghorn hunts to August 1st. Currently, they can start August 15th, but this makes it more in alignment when we start all of our antlerless depredation hunts, mitigation hunts, and things like that. The next proposed change is to change the minimum required days for antlerless hunts for the public from 2 to 3 days. Currently it's two. The committee felt that 3 days is more appropriate to achieve that harvest. The operators do have the option to give them more days than this, but this is the guaranteed minimum that the public hunters would receive. The next change would be to change the variance application process from a one-year waiting period to February 1st prior to the August 1st general application deadline. And what that means is CWMUs that are applying for a new CWMU or current CWMUs that need to apply for a variance to acreage configuration or variances to the minimum acreages included in a CWMU have a little bit more leeway to do that. A lot of times what we were doing was creating a problem for CWMUs with the one-year waiting period that they'd have to sit out a year before they could be considered for a variance, and that changes that. The next change is recommended is change that the public lands may not be used to meet minimum acreage requirements to establish a new CWMU. And what this means is that our minimum acreages are for deer pronghorn and turkey are 5,000 acres, and for elk and moose is 10,000 acres. To meet that minimum, they would not be able to use public lands, but anything after that, you know, as long as it qualified according to rule, public lands could be included. Some of the proposed additions are, we added the definition of a CWMU president and specifies them as a member of the landowner association. We've had this program since 1990, and we've always had a CWMU president included in that, but it's never been defined or included in a rule, and so we wanted to make that clear. It defines the president as the person that has the ultimate responsibility over the CWMU, and it also makes it so the CWMU president cannot apply for their own permits through the public drawing. We added an annual training requirement for all CWMU operators. This is a recommendation that came from the CWMU Association, and it was in agreement with the division that we wanted to have the ear of all the operators to educate them about rules and changes and the treatment of public hunters at least once a year as a training requirement for them. We added to the proposed adding to the rule that donated or unused vouchers can be used in the reciprocal hunting program. I'm going to talk about two programs here. Currently, CWMUs can donate one voucher a year if it's not used that year to be used the following year. It has to be donated to a charitable organization, a 501c3 organization, and they can't receive any monetary compensation for it other than a tax benefit. And what we wanted to do is make sure that can be used in a reciprocal hunting program. The reciprocal hunting program is that CWMUs that choose to sign up and participate in the reciprocal program, they can take permits from the CWMUs and use them in any of the CWMUs that they can sell them to raise money, but they can sell them, but they can use them on any of the CWMUs that are currently signed up for that. And
can I ask a question?
Sure.
On that?
Yeah.
When you say unused, does that mean unfilled or does that mean not sold?
Not sold. Not. It's a voucher that doesn't get redeemed and turned into a license. So, some more additions. The committee recommended that Sunday hunt days may not be included in the minimum hunt days except by mutual agreement. What this is saying is that the CWMUs are guaranteed 5 days to hunt. The public are. This is for the public. And unless it's agreed by both the public hunter and the CWMU operator, they don't have to be required to use that Sunday day into their hunt days. So, next one is permit allocations that deviate from the standards. The board may approve a modified distribution scheme of public-private permits. And what this applies to is basically moose, and it's for very, very low numbers of moose on the CWMUs. For example, if they have one permit a year during the three-year period, the first permit always goes to the public. The second year would go to the CWMU, and the third year it would go back to the public to maintain the 60-40 split that's required for that. Under the current rule, they have to, when they apply the next 3 years, it would start with the public again, so it messes up the ratio. And so to keep that, it's just giving the Wildlife Board the option to approve a modified distribution scheme to take care of that kind of thing. They added to the duties of the CWMU Advisory Committee to review acreage totals that fall below minimum acreage requirements for evaluation for continued participation in the program. And another addition was the division must be notified of any changes of operator membership or acreage within 30 days of the change. Sometimes this was occurring several years after it happened, and it does change the status of the CWMU when it happens. So, I have several clarifications. Any decreases in acreage, which is greater than 33%, which we consider a significant change in that, over the three-year COR term, they have to apply as a new CWMU. Increases of acreage, this is one of the changes. Any increases now would not fall under this. It would just be decreasing acreage greater than 33%. Any changes greater than 33% in land ownership over the three-year COR term have to apply as a new CWMU. So as CWMUs are transferred ownership, they're not guaranteed permits that go with the property, basically, is what that's saying. So any decreases in acreage that cause the CWMU to fall below the minimum acreage requirements have to go before the advisory committee for review and a recommendation to the Wildlife Board. And CWMUs that are currently under minimum acreages will be reviewed by the advisory committee if there are any reductions in acreages. Currently we have a lot of CWMUs that were entered into the program before the minimum acreage requirements were there. They're basically grandfathered in, but if they drop below that acreage, it has to go before the committee to review that and make a recommendation to the Wildlife Board also. And another clarification is this has always been in the rule, but it was basically buried in a definition. It added the language to clarify that landowner association members, their operators, their spouses and dependent children cannot apply for their own CWMU permits in the public drawing. This is to ensure that the public gets the benefit of having the CWMU operate too. If they apply for their own permits and receive those, it's 100% private benefit and no public benefit, so that's why that's done. There's clerical changes throughout the rule, and now, Mitch. One of the things that I thought Baird were mentioning is that there was a proposed non-trophy youth buck deer hunt that's not recommended at this time. It's not that it's something that we don't want, it's just that we came up, when we went through the process with approving this through attorneys and things, we ran into some real problems with definitions of non-trophy and definitions of management bucks, and there's a lot of things that couldn't be resolved before this went to the rack and board process, but it's something I think you will see in the future. What this is that the CWMU Association requested through this committee as basically a donation thing, that they could opt into a program where they would be able to receive permits, one through, there'd be a 50-50 split, one through the drawing for the public and one would go to the CWMU. They would have to go to the youth, 17 or under, and the CWMU could not receive any compensation for this. And the reason that this was proposed, because there's several CWMUs said that we have a lot of bucks that are management type bucks, non-trophy bucks that nobody else will harvest. It's a resource that's being unutilized, and they wanted to give that to the youth. And so it's a very good thing. It's just that we couldn't work out the details at this time. So I think it will be seeing that come. I hope that helps. So, and I think that's all. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. All right, Mitch, any other questions?
Usually I'm out of order. This one wasn't my fault. What do you think? I'm glad to hear that you're talking like there is some hope for it, because we, you know, it's been a long time on Diamond. We've tried to do it for years. And there's just always been these holdups that they don't want to go through it. You know, I see it on the general season, but gosh, your CWMUs or our landowner association should be able to handle these type of things. But you say there is some hope because, you know, we've been after these for a long time.
I will say there is hope because there's a lot of support for this, and it's through the association, and basically, like I said before, it's a donation. They have a resource that they'd like to utilize for that purpose, and I think you'll see it happen. It's just we couldn't make it happen during this process. So,
what's the legal holdup? I don't quite understand.
The legal holdup was with definitions. And it's attorney things. I don't understand them completely, but the attorneys, when we took this to the Attorney General's office, that's what the whole holdup basically was. So they have to do some real changes for definitions and everything to make this work, and that was the main holdup on it. So.
Because I know on Diamond we could say 3 point or less, and it's always we'll have the advantage. The landowners would take these people and make sure, and they could document the fact that they did. These young people did kill the buck those 3 points or less.
Yeah,
it seems pretty straightforward and simple to me.
It does to me, but it doesn't to attorneys. So, and that's why we changed it from a management buck to a non-trophy, and it would have been as defined by the CWMU. And one of the reasons we did that is because we don't want to have a youth go and make a mistake and shoot a buck in there that, you know, even if the landowner says, you know, hey, go ahead and shoot that's a management buck, and it has an extra point that makes it illegal and give the kid a bad experience. So we wanted to make it so that it was non-trophy, so that if these would all be guided hunts, according to the association, so that they saw that buck and says, yeah, go ahead and shoot that, that whatever it was, even if it was a 4 point that they determined that it was a non-trophy, the youth would be able to harvest that and with no consequences.
Well, you take a CWM or a landowner association, they would be responsible for what that youth takes.
Yeah, they're absolutely responsible.
I mean, my landlord is offered to donate.
Yeah.
That time to guide these kids. Yeah. And it'd be a great opportunity for them if we could get. I'm glad to hear you say it was hoped for.
Yeah, I think you'll see it in the near future as soon as we get the work. I think you'll see it in the near future as soon as we get the bugs worked out of it. But it's a there's a lot of support for it.
So we heard that 4 or 5 years ago, so I hope you're right.
Me too.
It's a big opportunity for these young people. And the animals are up there. Four. So stay on them.
Okay.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Other questions by the rep? I think it's got worse now.
I think it was the other guys.
Any other questions by the public? Comments? Didn't have any comments card. Comments? All right. Back to the rack. Any other discussion before we entertain a motion? Or will we entertain a motion?
I make a motion we adjourn.
Yeah. Well, I'll motion that we accept the rule changes as presented.
I'll second it.
All right, Missy seconded it. David made the motion. All in favor? You know.
Now that other
one. Okay. I'll motion that we adjourn.
A second on that.
Yes.
All right.